T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ. This one goes out to the one I love.
This one goes out to the one I've left behind. A simple prop to occupy my time. This one goes out to.
Saying fire, not higher.
I think it's fire.
But you just said fire?
I thought higher? You said prior.
No, I said fire! Higher! Your keyword to cash this hour is bank, which is what all of us hope to bank in life. Bank, B-A-N-K. Text that into 72881. Welcome back. How are you feeling?
It is good to be back.
Do you have mono?
I'm just so exhausted.
And you slept 12 hours last night.
And today. And I went to the doctor yesterday. I mean. Everything checks out. My blood pressure was fantastic. You know, I've lost 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Good for you. Everything's good. I'm on some new medication. I'm good. I'm just, and maybe the weather makes it worse. I don't know.
Well, it probably didn't help, but sleeping for 12 hours is not normal.
Oh, I am aware.
Like, you went to bed last night at 9.
Yeah.
First I heard from you today was at 10.
Well, I got up and took the kids to school, you know, 6:40, and it hurt to get, like, it pained me to get out of bed.
What the hell are you taking the kids to school at 6:40 for?
One of them had to go early.
Starts at 7:50.
Which is fine. Like, one of them said to me the other day, I think they should start school at 1 o'clock, and we should go until 9 p.m. And I laughed, and I said, you know, it's probably better for your young, developing brain to do that. But
true.
Cause some daycare issues, I'm guessing.
Are your kids off tomorrow on Monday?
They are.
It's like this new thing called fall break.
Yes. And my son is off, which I don't ever recall having a fall break.
I don't either. Sarah is coming home. Sarah does not have school tomorrow.
Yeah.
At KU. And so I'm assuming Jack doesn't either, since they both go to the same university. So Sarah's going to, she said she was going to wake up, go to the gym, and then she's coming home. And I said,
I don't think they have to go back through Tuesday.
I believe the first class is on Wednesday.
I want a fall break. I like the idea of the fall break.
I distinctly remember when I was going to the University of Nebraska, my first break was Thanksgiving.
That's how we used to
and
do
I
it.
Remember
that was my first break in college.
Was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because that was the day my dad, I've told you the story, when my dad showed up, I opened the door and he goes, ma'am. I'm looking for my son.
Because you'd grow your hair out.
Because I didn't have any money to get a haircut.
It's that way at UMKC, too.
There's a fall break?
No, there isn't.
There's no fall break.
Just Thanksgiving break.
You ought to petition for the fall break.
That was, when my parents dropped me off in August at Nebraska, I did not see them again until late November, which was fine for them and probably fine for me. But I didn't have any money for a haircut, so I just let my hair grow out.
Yeah.
And that's when my dad rolled up, and I didn't have a car. That was the worst part about going to Nebraska. I did not have a car.
Is that university pedestrian friendly?
Yeah, very.
Okay.
In fact,
you don't really need one.
Well, unlike KU, where you can't drive your car down Jayhawk Boulevard between 9 and 5, University of Nebraska on the main campus, there are no roads.
Now, if I recall correctly, you may be looking at quite a hike from one end to the other. So in that sense, it's probably not pedestrian friendly, but
yeah, but it's
sure. It is not. It is not constructed around vehicles.
UNL or University of Nebraska Lincoln, they do not have roads on their campus. It is all sidewalk.
Cool.
It's a good way to combat that freshman 15.
Well, yeah.
It kind of is.
Yeah, I got the reverse freshman 15. When I went to college, I lost 15 pounds.
I lost weight at Nebraska.
Did you talk about this, by the way? Every once in a while, I throw something out on social media, and you never know what is going to make people crazy. Like, you would think it would be guns or politics or abortion or something, like religion. Sometimes we will throw out the dumbest things that end up making people so mad. And I logged on last night, and then I was like, I'm not even going to read this. And you may have talked about this yesterday, the new rule that they are going to let kids retake one section of the ACT versus retaking the entire thing. So right now...
Aren't there only two sections, though?
No. Right now, you can take it, and then you can take it again. And then you can take it again, Scott. And then you can take it again. And whatever your best score is, wins.
Mm-hmm.
But that costs money. It costs money to just keep going back and taking
sure,
it.
Sure.
And you might be trying to get one section up, but the test is different every time. And you end up getting a lower score on another section. So ACT comes out and decides starting next year. So any of you listening that have a high school sophomore, junior, this is huge. You can now go back, and I'm guessing at a fraction of the cost, and take just science. You can keep all of your other scores and just retake the one that you struggled with. People came out of the woodwork screaming about that.
Why?
Oh, so if you're not doing great at your job, does your boss just let you keep doing it over until you scam the system and get in?
Have you not heard the show?
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is the greatest idea because, first of all, the test takes like 4 or 5 hours or something insane. If you can go back and just take the one section, why shouldn't you be able to do that?
Why do you have to do the ACT to begin with? I've never understood why colleges or SAT, for that matter. I don't know which college uses which. Why is it so important that I can do really well
on a test
in a 4-hour period? Why wouldn't you want to base my admission on the bulk of my 4 years of work?
Your grades.
Yeah, of course.
I think there are some schools, and we have to look this up, who are not putting as much importance on that. But Scott, it's a billion-dollar business. I mean, it's there because everyone is making so much money off that stupid test.
I wonder if and I have nothing to back this up. I wonder if the ACT pays universities.
Oh, there's money exchanging hands.
To demand.
All over the place.
That high school students take the ACT and the SAT.
Do you know in Kansas, it is now free for every junior? It is now free if you live in the state of Kansas, and I don't know about Missouri, but text us at 22980 if you know. Everyone gets to take it once for free, which is a huge step in leveling the playing field for kids who would not be able to afford to keep going back. It's expensive. It's expensive if your kid isn't a great test taker and you hire somebody to tutor them.
Do you think ACT is paying KU?
I think some money is exchanging hands all over the country for that stuff. And I think it's a bajillion-dollar industry.
But why do we base college admission on the ACT?
You go to
high school for 4 years.
Like, when did it start? Let me look that up.
Well, I know
ACT was founded
in 1988.
1959.
Okay.
Well, I think it's like standardized testing. It's one test that they can scale everybody off of, whereas depending on what high school you go to, your curriculum is going to be different.
Yeah. This way, everybody is essentially having to answer the same questions, and therefore it is the easiest way to gauge everyone. I should note, and granted, we know, you know, that money can change hands, but it is worth noting that ACT is a nonprofit organization.
So is the NFL.
That's what I always say.
Right, and that's why I prefaced my remark with what I did.
Somebody writes in, Scott, why do you base the bulk of your decision to bring somebody into the studio for an interview off of a resume? Two things on that one. Number one, Dana books probably 90 to 95% of the interviews. And number two, we don't use resumes to determine who we interview. We use interest.
Steve Howe's coming on tomorrow, the Johnson County District Attorney. I did not ask to see his resume. I'm sure it's impressive.
And I can assure you that Alexander, for whom we bring in from time to time, the young man from England.
I don't think he has a resume.
Alexander does not have one. He's 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This is just on Wikipedia, so take it for what it's worth. But in 2012, the ACT surpassed the SAT for the first time in total test takers. In that year, you ready for this? And I want you to do this math.
Well, the SAT is falling out of favor.
1,700,000 students took the test. 1,700,000. ACT.
Okay.
And I'm going to round down and say it's about $60 to take it.
So you want me to time that by 60 to find out how much it made?
I mean,
it's $102 million.
And that does not that's in 1 year. And that does not count outside books, tutoring.
Pre-testing.
They're not getting rid of that thing.
Somebody writes in on the text line, I'm not a good test taker. Oh, you mean you're stupid?
No.
I don't believe that. We got to get to the break. Keyword to cash this hour is bank, B-A-N-K. Text it into 72881.
You missed two classes and no homework.
Kansas City Star. I knew I brought my glasses. A 12-year-old Overland Park girl formed a gun with her fingers, pointed it, her fingers, at four of her Westridge Middle School classmates one at a time, and then turned the pretend weapon toward herself. Get some help, please. We don't do that, said spokesman David Smith. That is not our job. He said the role of the district police is, quote, not to enforce the law, but to keep kids and adults safe. Now, this young girl, according to the story, and some of it was cut out data, by the way, so you're going to have to fill in the blanks. She was suspended. Was she not?
Here's the rub. There's a great editorial piece today by Toriano Porter, who used to work here. I love that guy. He's with the Star now.
Mm-hmm.
And he draws the parallel between this student pointing a finger gun facing felony charges when there are other students who have brought actual weapons into the school. One of them happened this year. I believe it was in Grandview, if memory serves, but I'll look it up. And those students did not face a felony charge. And he asked the question today, and it is a fair one. In what world does that make sense?
Wait, go back to the students in Grandview. Which one was
don't
that?
Don't you remember like a month ago?
Are you talking about Hawker Grove?
Yes.
That's in Merriam.
Okay.
That's on Johnson Drive.
It was like 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. They found one or two weapons that those kids had brought to school. Because I remember at the time you said, where did they get them?
Sure.
You know, were they stolen? Did they bring them from home?
I was frustrated with the parents. That was Hawker Grove Middle School on Johnson Drive.
Hawker Grove, pardon me. He has an impassioned editorial today about who we charge in these cases and why. And he demands to know why this makes sense. So in the Westridge Middle School case, they hauled this girl away in handcuffs. They arrested her. She is charged with the felony offense of threatening.
With a finger gun?
That's what it's called. The felony offense of threatening. And I'm quoting here from Toriano. But then layer in the fact that just last month, two 13-year-old Hawker Grove Middle School students showed up to school with guns. The kind that can actually kill people. Hidden inside of their backpacks in the very same district. When very real firearms were involved, no felony charges were filed. Why? Officials will not disclose how those two students were disciplined. They said there was no evidence to suggest the teenagers planned to use those guns at school. Both were charged in juvenile court, by the way, with a misdemeanor, possession of a firearm. And there
the Hawker Grove kids?
Yep. There is no way you can justify the differences in those cases, Scott. None.
I would even argue that the finger gun thing where she goes choo, 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 to four students and then puts her finger gun to her head and pretends to commit suicide, she definitely needs an intervention or at least a chat with her mom and dad. That is not a criminal offense. Is it a suspendable offense? In today's day and age, probably, yeah. Because we become so overly sensitive, I would probably suspend her for 3 days because that's what we do nowadays. But that is not a criminal offense.
So, and they asked Johnson County District Attorney Steve Howe about this, who, by the way, will be on the program tomorrow at 4 o'clock. He says, bringing a gun to school is a serious matter. But in general, a felony charge can only be leveled if a kid commits the same crime a second time. Charging the 12-year-old girl with a felony, quote, is something we don't agree with, but it is something the legislature should look into.
Well, first of all, I'm going to disagree with Steve Howe, and I'm no lawyer, and he is. You do not have to commit a crime twice for it to be a felony.
He's just saying generally that's how the office looks at it.
If I take a baseball bat to your head, that's not a misdemeanor. That is felony aggravated battery. I don't have to take a baseball bat to somebody else's
head. I think he's talking about when it's a juvenile and it's in a school like this, the felony charge is usually reserved for something where this has happened more than once. All right. The finger gun versus the real two weapons brought into that school is a head scratcher when you look at the differences in these charges.
Telephone number here is 576-7798 to the newsroom and we'll stare at it.
Ahead on KMBZ, the family says she's trigger happy. That's next.
Pop, pop goes the weasel, the weasel. Pop, pop goes the weasel, the weasel. Pop, pop goes the weasel, the weasel. Pop goes the weasel, goes the weasel, goes pop. Pop, pop goes the weasel, the weasel. Pop, pop goes the weasel, the weasel. Pop, pop goes the weasel.
Guarantee you won't hear this song at any other radio station. Third base.
Word.
Word. We can only say word because they were mostly white. Word.
No, I think we could say word at any time.
But definitely during third base because they were white.
Does the finger gun pew, pew, on, pew, pew. Let me ask you this.
Wait, what does it sound like again, Dana? Pew, pew. Thank you.
On a playground with a bunch of kindergarten or first grade boys cause panic in this day and age?
No. No.
I remember when we first had our son, I did not want toy guns. I didn't want Nerf guns.
Really?
Do you know what boys at age 4 and 5 and 6 start doing without Nerf guns?
They start going, pew, pew.
Yep. Or they find a stick. It just happened. And I remember the day it happened. I said, look at that. And they're running around having a good time playing. And I am the first person to acknowledge we take these things very seriously and look at them very differently through the lens of what we have all lived through with the news cycle and all of the violence that we've seen in our schools. But I think context is important. This girl who was arrested was 12. And in the editorial piece today, it says, a person familiar with this incident said that another student in class had asked the girl who she would choose if she could kill 5 people in her class.
Okay.
The girl then allegedly, you know, made a finger pointer.
Finger gun.
And went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And the 5 was herself.
And was arrested and is charged with a felony. Now,
why is the student who asked her, who would you kill, not arrested?
Yeah, do you need to sit? I think everybody needs to sit down with a counselor. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that two Hawker Grove boys brought two actual guns into school in their backpacks and did not face a felony charge is something that you cannot explain to me.
I don't think she should have been arrested. I think you're doing more harm than good. Okay. She didn't do anything legally wrong. She was asked a question, a stupid hypothetical question, by another student who, by the way, if she's going to be arrested, the kid who asked the stupid question should be arrested.
Yeah.
Who would you kill if you could kill someone in our class?
Yeah, why would you even ask that? That's
Listen,
a really
here,
disturbing
Columbine
thing to ask.
Weirdo.
Yeah. Really disturbing thing to ask.
So, I mean, I think what we have done as probably the worst generation ever in America, Generation X, because we're the ones who are now making the rules, is we've done a really, really good job, Dana, of forgetting what it was like to be 12 years old. We, in our 40s, have done a really good job of forgetting what it's like to be a kid. And who among us didn't at one point, and don't tell me you didn't, sit around and think to yourself, God, I'd like to kill that person.
Like not actually kill
But
them.
You never really thought, I'm gonna act out on this. But, I mean, there have been people in my life who have crossed me who I thought, God, if it was legal, I would kill you right now. But I never did. You know why? Because it's illegal, and I don't want to go to prison. But I've thought...
You would not look good in a mugshot.
I would not look good in a jumpsuit.
Just look at his ID badge.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's not good. But have you never thought to yourself, if it was legal, I'd kill you?
No,
Be
I've
honest.
Never thought
Be
that.
Honest.
I have thought before, I would not lose sleep if the certain individual was no longer here. I wouldn't lose sleep over it.
It's that whole, what is it, the Mark Twain quote, I've never wished a man dead, but I've read many an obituary with great pleasure.
Yes, that's more my style. That is more my style.
All right.
You know, are we the worst generation when it comes to this stuff? Maybe we are.
I think the Generation X is the worst at reminding itself what it was like when you were a kid.
However, if you are this school, knowing all of the things we know, we live in an America where I don't know that they have a choice but to bring the hammer down when something like this happens. What are they going to do? Because
you talking about the finger gun
Yes,
girl?
They're damned if they do, and they're damned if they don't, Scott, and here's why. These are not five-year-old boys on a playground in kindergarten playing cops and robbers.
This was a 12-year-old, so
she was asked, if you could kill somebody, who would you kill? No, 12-year-old is seventh grade. If you could kill somebody, who would you kill? And then she singled out four. The school is now in a position that if they do nothing, and this is a problemed kid, and something does happen, bar the door. We live in an environment that I don't...
So we're going to criminally charge.
I don't think she should be criminally charged.
But, that's what happened.
I do think when something like this happens, you, as a school, they got to do something, whether they suspend her for a day or...
But this goes back to, like... The kid who chewed his Pop-Tart into the shape of an L.
Yeah.
It has gotten, the zero tolerance garbage has gotten so ridiculously stupid.
But you understand what I'm saying. If you do nothing and something happens, the schools are saying, look, zero tolerance has to be zero tolerance. Because if you start deciding, well, this was okay because we didn't really believe it was a threat, but this kid's kind of a problem kid, so we suspended that one. We can't live in a society like that.
Suspend the kid who asked, if you could kill five students, who would it be?
Okay, I agree.
And she should be criminally charged, too, with incitement. I just...
Why not charge the two who brought the freaking guns into school?
Dana, if you were going to charge any of the four, the two kids at Hawker Grove... The kid who made the stupid finger gun thing, which every kid has done in their life, and the moron kid with the stupid question, if you could kill five kids in this class, who would it be? If you said you had to charge two of those four, it would be the two Hawker Grove kids. You actually brought guns into the school.
And what's frustrating, and it has to be this way, and I understand that, is these are juveniles. So we don't get any more information about it. We know that the guns were brought to school because the school has an obligation to let parents know this happened.
Yeah.
We haven't heard where they came from. Were these from mom and dad? Mom and dad should be charged, Dana, if they came from mom and dad. It just goes away.
I want to get to a call real quick. But you remember when we were kids, we would walk around the playground and pew, 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 pew. That's how you know how to make that sound.
But we didn't have, when we were kids, actual people showing up on the playground doing that with a real weapon.
Let's go to Joey and Paola. Joey, what up?
Hi, here's two ironies. I actually did go to Hawkerville Middle School when I was a kid, and the same situation basically happened to my brother. So, from Paola, we were at Cottonwood Elementary because the bus, if you ride on the bus for the rural kids, you're all going to get on one bus to go that way, and my brother was just going pew, 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 and he was a fifth grader at the time, and I had a bunch of teachers just come over and start yelling at him and just treating him like crap.
He was in fifth or sixth grade. What'd you say, Joey?
He was a fifth grader.
He was a fifth grader.
And they were making him cry, and I said something because I was a freshman in high school, and it just made me very, very angry because I can understand what this girl was going through because I saw it in my brother's face. You know, when you have authority, just treating you like that because you're just being a freaking kid. And when the principal of the school called my dad said the most straight up thing ever. He goes, "Well, did my son's fingers magically turn into a gun? Well, no, sir. Then there's your answer. There's your answer why he should be punished. No."
Joey, what was the context of your brother doing this? What was...
He was just being a kid. He was just going pew, pew, pew. He's just a kid. And I don't understand why kids can't be kids anymore. You know what I mean?
Because adults make the rules. And Generation X is one of the craziest, weirdest generations of all time.
See, and I disagree with you a little bit there, Scott. I think, yes, adults make the rules. I think the schools have no choice but to make this zero tolerance because of the actual carnage we have seen in schools.
You're talking about the finger gun girl?
I am talking about how you decide what behavior is okay and what behavior isn't okay in an environment where we have seen so many deaths. Somebody's got to make the call, and the easiest legal call to make is zero tolerance.
Well, zero tolerance is stupid. Somebody writes in, you need to read the whole story. It wasn't the school. It was the school resource officer, not an employee of the school. Texter, with all due respect, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, I did read the whole story. I don't need to read the whole story to know that it was the school resource officer that arrested the kid. The school doesn't have the authority to arrest a kid.
Which was an, I believe it's Overland Park Police Department.
That is correct. Because Hawker Grove is in Merriam. 576-7798.
I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be. I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. And the money comes in for the work I do. I'm
somebody tell me this was a remake. It was not recorded in the 90s. It was actually recorded in the 80s.
Right, and it was actually like a hit in half the world in the late 80s. And then when it was included in the soundtrack, I think it was Benny and June.
That's when it became a hit in the U.S.
It became a hit in the other half of the world where it hadn't already been.
Somebody points out on the text line, I'm trying to find it again. If I don't find it, I can still paraphrase it. But they point out, you guys are missing the bigger picture. School shootings have gone on long. This is nothing new. School shootings have been going on for decades and decades and decades and decades. I looked it up, actually. And yes, there have been a lot of school shootings in America dating back to the 1800s, by the way. But here's something...
Not like in modern day times.
Right, but here's something interesting, Dan. I want you to follow me here. This column here is the number killed. Notice it's 1-6. That's obvious. That was 1991. 1-0-3-2-0-4. It's not until you get to 1999 that the number of killed goes into the double digits. And, of course, that was Columbine in Littleton, Colorado. Then you keep going down, and you see multiple shootings where there are double-digit deaths. Prior to that, I could not – prior to Columbine High School, I could not find a single school shooting in the 19th – or check that, in the 20th century where there was any more than six victims, six being too much. That was, by the way, at the University of Iowa in 1991. But most of the deaths – every death, of course, is tragic –
was one or two.
Is one or two, yeah. And usually it is a student who feels like they've been wronged by another student or a student who feels they've been wronged by a teacher. Not somebody just willy-nilly going in like at Columbine and shooting everybody and anybody that they can find. Tony and Lee Summit. Tony, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Hey, great topic. Just real quick, I mean, I grew up in my high school years was in the 70s and stuff like that. And you guys bring up a lot of great points. I think what the biggest problem is that the lack of parent supervision to let these kids know what is right and what is wrong. I grew up in God's honest truth, I'm Italian, grew up East Coast Italian. I went to Catholic school. And if you did something wrong, the nun would hit you. When you got home, your mom would hit you. When your dad got home, he'd hit you. You knew you screwed up, plain and simple. And you were raised, you know, that's stupid. You just don't do that because not only do you hurt somebody else, you bring disgrace to your family, bring disgrace to your name, you bring disgrace to yourself. And a lot of that is lacked over the years. I mean, I got two boys. My wife has passed since, but... And she was the matriarch of the family, and they couldn't get away with nothing without her knowing about it. And did we raise a hand? We didn't beat them, but we got their attention. And they're great, upstanding citizens. I've got great grandkids, two beautiful daughter-in-laws. My life has been great, and I think a lot of that is missing in society where parents just aren't there all the time. You know, they just need to get more involved, and it's okay to raise a hand. You don't beat them. But you get their attention. And that's what I got to say.
Tony, what do you remember being afraid of in school? Coming up through school, what were you afraid of?
The nuns. I was afraid of doing anything wrong. I mean, I was an altar boy. My uncle was a bishop. I wanted to become a priest. And then I hit puberty and forget about that. But that's a whole other story. But, yeah, I mean, I was afraid of getting in trouble. I was afraid of having to face my mother and father to get in more problems, more in trouble than I already would have put myself into. And I was kind of one of those guys that there was a group of us that all hung out together, and we all kind of watched out for each other. When somebody was doing something stupid, because we'd go out, back then you could drink at 18, and some stupid stuff, blah, 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 but you watch each other's back and make sure that nobody did something so stupid that you wind up in jail or really hurting somebody. Hey. You did fight every once in a while, but whatever. It was no big deal.
Tony, is it the Brooklyn or the Bronx?
Actually, my dad's side was from Brooklyn, but I grew up on Long Island.
Okay, so I got it half right.
Yes, sir.
Be good, brother.
You're breaking your mom's heart.
What were you afraid of, Scott?
I was afraid of my father. I would not that he would beat me. I was afraid of letting him down.
See, I remember in elementary school being afraid of the idea of Mr. Ross, who was the principal. Very kind man. But
I was also afraid of Mr. Herford.
Kind of a gruff man. I was afraid of the idea of that paddle. We had all heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw it. But I heard about it. And I was afraid of the idea of that paddle. And I was also afraid of whatever it was after the day after came out. I knew that that was bad and we should all be afraid of that and it might happen.
Then why not bring it back? You have been an advocate for not bringing back swatting. I have been an advocate for bringing back swatting. But what kept you in line, Dana, was the fear of his paddle, which you never experienced.
No.
But that's what kept you in line, was the fear that he would strike you with that paddle.
But don't you think different children respond in different ways to those perceived scary things. There are kids today that wouldn't bat an eyelash over something like that. Now, me growing up, I was afraid of it. How many kids today growing up would be afraid of that? Actually afraid of it?
I think if it was reinstituted or reinstated, I think it would take probably a handful of years, but children would learn to fear the teacher's paddle again. I would have absolutely no problem with corporal punishment coming back.
Oh, man, that opens up a can of worms.
Because I feared the paddle. Mm. And that is what, especially in Texas, where I grew up most of the time before when I was a young kid, it was the paddle that kept me in line.
The percussive correction.
Yes. And the time, I was only paddled one time, fifth grade by Mrs. Wilkinson. And it was enough to set me straight. I was never paddled again. Now.
Wow, you learned quick.
Didn't want to get it again. It hurt.
Did it hurt her more than it hurt you?
Well, I don't think so.
Side note. Is that the truth?
No.
As okay. a parent, no, it's not the truth. Any parent that says, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, is a liar. It does not hurt them more than... I have spanked my children before when they were very young. Not very young, but when they were younger. And I can assure you that it did not hurt me more. In fact, I wanted it to hurt them because they had really screwed up.
That's physically right. Or emotionally, what are we talking about?
Both.
Here?
It didn't matter. And don't act innocent. You spanked Sophie in Lawrence.
One SWAT, one time in 20 years.
You want to make sure there were mental scars from it.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.